nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So in this segment on open 1D systems, I'd like to talk a little bit about a generalization of what you've seen in the previous two presentations. It's a so-called transfer matrix approach, that can be generalized. And I'd like to highlight some of the pretty neat things about it and also some of the pretty ugly things about it. So the idea is that for a variety of applications and intellectual exercises, you might deal with something like superlattices, where you can grow sheets of material on top of each other and create a superlattice like this. Or you might have a resonant tunneling diode and you want to learn about transmission through these structures. And what you can do is that you can really conceptually very easily model this. In the previous two presentations, I showed you how you derive analytical expressions about it. And they're beautiful and you can get insight out of it. This transfer matrix is really conceptually very simple and very nice. You can do it on pencil and paper. And before we had computers, powerful computers, that was very, very important. But now if we don't do real structures, it turns out that this transfer matrix method has severe numerical limitations. In fact, you can't really use it for real device simulation. So the principles we pursue here is that we treat each interface of this device or each inhomogeneity in this device that we want to consider as a little scattering matrix. But we don't treat it like a scattering matrix, we treat it with a transfer matrix. So what we have is input A2 on the right and output B2 on the right is related through a matrix from input on the left and the right. From the left, A and B. Okay? So it's a so-called transfer matrix, and that's what we just solved analytically for a single step or a single barrier case. So you can generalize this by cascading many of these transfer matrices to each other where you say, okay, my output on the right, AN and BN on the far right, are related through products of T and my input on the left. Okay? I mean, that's the generalization of what I had just shown you. So what it does is at each of these interfaces, you match the wave function and the derivative of the wave function. And you can split a device in many such layers. For example, even a barrier material like this, you might split into multiple little steps. And you say, well, I'm going to approximate these linear potentials by some small steps. That means if you have a device that is extended and you had potentials that are moving throughout the device, you need a lot of steps. Right? Because, you know, effectively, a Poisson equation is like a low-pass filter. It varies smoothly. But it varies. Okay, so in this standard transfer matrix approach, what you end up doing is having to do a lot of slices. Okay, so we stepped earlier through this with a double interface, so single barrier. We've seen the math in the previous presentation, and how this matrix, this transfer matrix for a single barrier device, a single barrier structure, pretty much emerges automatically out of this. On the first interface and now the second interface. And at the end you can say, well, let me generalize this where I indeed have a transfer matrix for the whole system that is the product of the transfer matrices of the individual system. And Now let me talk a little bit about the ugly side of the transfer matrix approach. So let's say we want to consider a superlattice structure like this. And let's say we take this as a repeating structure. So one repeating unit has an interface where the electron sees an up interface, and then there's an end down, a down interface. Okay. So each of these units is made up of a transfer matrix at each interface. Okay, pretty straightforward. The critical thing is that each of these transfer matrices contain evanescent and propagating states. Right, on the left we have propagating states, on the right of this interface and up we have evanescent states. Right, and for n down we have evanescent states on the left and propagating states on the right. Now when I said evanescent, I also meant exponentially growing. Right? There's an e to the minus kappa d and an e to the plus kappa d, because both are valid solutions. Okay? And they're sitting in that matrix. So let me make that a little bit more explicit. So here's this case of a double interface, single barrier transfer matrix, right? So here are the four matrix elements that we had. Oh, sorry, this is just n down. So there is a propagating constant and a decaying constant, exponentially growing. Here's a propagating and exponentially growing. Here is a propagating, exponentially decaying, propagating, exponentially decaying. Okay, now think in terms of computer and numbers, right? That means these would be large numbers, these would be small numbers. Okay? If you do the same for the down, you see the same thing, right? So you have, I said big, big, small, small on the previous one. Here you have small, small, big, big. Okay? Now you're going to start cascading these things together. What you end up doing is big times small plus big times small, sort of medium, right? That's one matrix element. And then you do big times big, really big, big times big, really big. You add them, get really big. For the next matrix element, you have, what is it? Small, 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 small plus small, small. Then you have small, big plus small, big. So you mix small, 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 big, big, big. Just imagine what happens on the next step, right? You cascade the next, right? You multiply with this. That means you cover numerically a huge spectrum of numbers, which means you have exponentially growing numbers and exponentially decaying numbers in it. Computers don't like that. They really don't. They overflow or they underflow. Okay? So you hit the machine precision and the limits of accuracy right away. And you see that especially for real devices where you have band edge profiles, or you see it when you have a multiband basis where you have more decaying state and propagating states, because you have multiple bands, right? So transfer matrix is a beautiful thing for teaching quantum mechanics and scattering theory with a pencil and paper. Do not put it on a computer unless you know what you're doing. There's some correcting mechanisms, and people got their PhD around how to correct the transfer matrix for a certain application. Okay? For single band effective mass with a few layers, like 80, 90 layers, it's okay. But for a real device, it probably is going to not do so well for you. Okay? So that's really the key summary. The transfer matrix is analytically really pleasing, right? I mean, you can teach it really easily, beautifully, right? But if you want to put it on a computer, it's really numerically not stable, and it doesn't allow you to have realistic heterostructures with real band bending, or if you have a large number of basis sets, right? Effective mass is just like a single S orbital. If you have many orbitals per basis, it's just going to go belly up.